short game of sorts. Please be bear with me and take part. It's called Inside or Outside. And I'm going to ask a question. And if you meet the criteria I set out, I want you to come up front to stand here near me. And if you're standing at the front, you're part of the group. If not, you don't meet the criteria I set. So then you're not part of the group. So my first group is a group that likes eating sprouts. And I've chosen you as my in group. So anyone who likes eating sprouts, please come and stand up in front next to me.
No, up there it's better. Right, crimey. I was not expecting that. So this huge group of people is standing here beside me. You're all on the inside. You're the chosen ones. You could taste different varieties of sprouts to decide which variety is best. You can talk together about how delicious sprouts are and share recipes for cooking them. You understand each other's love for sprouts. Now, the rest of us, including me, because I hate sprouts, we're on the outside. We can't be part of that group because we don't like sprouts. Thank you. You'll have to go back and sit down. Although some of you will be getting up again, I'm afraid, in a minute. I really didn't realise I was in such a minority not liking sprouts. I think it's because all my family don't like them. The second group I've chosen to be the in-group is people with long hair. So once again, it doesn't include me. So if you've got long hair, would you come back and stand at the front with me? Sorry, ladies. This is going to be a much smaller group because I couldn't think there were that many people in the congregation, ladies with long hair. So, once again, you are on the inside. You're the chosen ones. You can share with each other how to keep your hair in good condition. You can recommend to each other good hair care products. And you understand each other's love for long hair. But the rest of us, like me, as you can see, are on the outside. We can't be part of that group because our hair isn't long enough. So thank you very much. I'd like to go back to your seats. Now, that was a very silly game, I admit. A game about people being on the inside and people being on the outside of a group. But actually, we do often play that game in real life. We behave as if some people are insiders and some are outsiders. Children, for example, they can have a group of friends in the playground, but they won't let anyone new join in their game, perhaps because they're different, perhaps they've just joined the school, variety of reasons. Same thing in our offices and colleges. Sometimes we can exclude people from conversations or social events because they're not the same as us. And we can even play that game in church and not welcome people who are new or those who like to worship differently to us. Now, I hope we have taken steps as a church family not to be like that. But it's always something that we need to be aware of, so that we always have a warm welcome for newcomers, or that we always have the grace to accept that different people enjoy different songs or services or ways of worship to us. Because actually, we're all individuals. We're all different. Some of you might have enjoyed playing that silly game at the start of this talk. I suspect there were some of you that might have hated it. And some of you probably didn't really mind one way or the other. As I said, we're all individually made. But God really isn't like that. He doesn't have favourites or an in crowd and an out crowd. He loves all of us equally. And he wants to invite everyone into his family. Everyone who accepts Jesus into their life is automatically included by God. And as we just heard in the gospel reading this morning, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, God revealed to some people who weren't Jewish that the Messiah, God's chosen king, had been born. And these men, we don't really know how many of them there were. We assume three because of the three gifts that they gave to the baby Jesus. And we don't even really know exactly who they were. The Bible calls them magi or wise men. Some call them kings. It depends on which translation you use. But we do know that they travelled a very long way to find Jesus following the star. And when they found Jesus, the Bible tells us that they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, prophets like Isaiah had been predicting for centuries the coming of the Messiah to the Israelites. And at that time, the Jewish people thought that when the Messiah came, they would be the in ones, those promised a place in God's kingdom. After all, they were the people that God caused Moses to lead out of Egypt to the promised land. They were God's chosen people, going right back to Abraham and the covenant God made involving circumcision for all men as a sign of inclusion. The Messiah was supposed to be for their redemption again. And everyone who wasn't Jewish would continue to be on the outside. But God guided the wise men to the baby Jesus. Men who clearly were not Jewish. God had a far bigger plan than the Jewish people were expecting from their Messiah. God's plan was to create one big family of people who loved and worshipped Jesus, from both Jews and non-Jews, those called Gentiles in the Bible. God wanted to create one big family where everyone could be on the inside if they wanted to be on the inside. A big family where no one was excluded or made to feel unwelcome or unwanted. As Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 6, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, we've all chosen to be here today, in church, worshipping God together. We've all chosen to be part of God's family. We are all fellow heirs alongside Christ of God's love, promises, and faithfulness to us. Our task is to make sure that just as God has welcomed all of us into his family, we're willing to welcome new people and to accept all those who've answered the call of God. Whether they worship in the same way as us or not, whether they look like us or not. And it's a welcome we need to give to people, not just those of us here in church, but to the thousands of other people in our villages who don't feel that they're part of God's family, who maybe don't know God at all. As Paul also writes, this time in his letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 14. How are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? I pray that that's a task that we may all have the courage and strength to take up. Amen.